Wake up. It's the Sleep Unplugged Podcast, episode 93. 10 strange insomnia treatments. Rock yourself to sleep. Hello and welcome everyone to the Sleep Unplugged Podcast. My name is Chris Winner. I'm a neurologist and sleep specialist and your host for this episode of the Sleep Unplugged Podcast. It is the first day of April. It is April Fool's Day, and a couple things are going on here. Number one, it is the first Monday of April, so we're doing our topic as we typically do in some way related to insomnia. But as is the tradition for the podcast, on April 1st, or the episode closest to April 1st, we read some funny, interesting viewer, listener comments that I've collected over the year. And that'll be what we lead the show off with today. So if you want to be one of those people and perhaps make it onto the April Fool's episode 2025, you can reach the show, Dr. Chris Winner, Twitter, Dr. Chris Winner, Instagram. You can follow me on both of those platforms. You can find us on YouTube. We post all the videos of the Sleep Unplugged podcast on the YouTube platform, and love the people who consume our content there. And just as an update, if you're following the Catathrenia episode, I think it just went over 6,000 views or something like that. So it's still chugging right along, which is great that people are really interested in the Catathrenia episode. Let's see, what else do we have here? So we're going to waive the typical comments, corrections, criticism. And last year we did the top 10 listener comments that were the funniest ones that were sent in. It seemed to drag on a little bit. We don't want to upset Kathleen. So we're going to do five of the best. So I've culled through comments from social media, direct messages, even reviews of my books, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken, How to Fix It, as well as The Rested Child are fair game, as long as they're left within the last calendar year. And so before we get going, the title of the song in the title, Rock Yourself to Sleep, is from the title of the Eagles song by that same name, Rock Yourself to Sleep, which was off of their seventh studio album, Long Road Out of Eden, that was released in 2007. And there was a massive gap between 2007's Long Road Out of Eden by the Eagles and their previous studio album. There was Hell Freezes Over, I believe, was a live album in 94, had that great rendition of Hotel California on it. But the last studio album was Long Run, was 1979. So literally 1979, they recorded Long Run, took a massive break until 2007 and recorded Long Road Out of Eden. I think it was the only album that the Eagles ever did, which was a double album. And it was popular. It was the number one album of the year, sold a lot of records. And apparently it was kind of infamous because Billboard changed some rules around and somehow it was able to block Britney Spears. I can't remember all the story with that. You can look that up. I love this song. I think it's a fantastic one. Rock Yourself to Sleep. It's actually How Long is the name of the song. Well, I'm calling it Rock Yourself to Sleep. That's the lyric from the song we're talking about. But How Long was actually a J.D. Souther song. He wrote a bunch of Eagles songs. I think New Kid in Town. The song that I really like that J.D. Souther wrote was Victim of Love. I thought that was great. But he also wrote How Long. And it's just one of those Eagles songs that really exploits their incredible harmony, like, you know, Seven Bridges Road kind of thing. And I believe Long Road Out of Eden was the first, was done without Felder, their guitarist, who they kicked out of the band because, you know, the story was he was asking too much about where the money was going. So they kicked him out. So we'll put How Long on the Spotify playlist. So if you're following along, listen to the show, all the music that we reference and talk about, you can find on the Spotify playlist. Just look up Sleep Unplugged, Spotify playlist volume 2. We're closing in on the volume 2 being done, and we'll start volume 3 here in a few episodes, I suppose. I guess episode 105 would be the first episode of season three, technically, and we're on episode 93. So we're 12 episodes away. So anyway, so let's get into it real quick. The top five, what I found to be funny comments or questions that were left by listeners, no names, but we'll start with number one, which was actually a review of the book, my book, Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep's Broken, How to Fix It. The review was horrible, impossible to find the information I needed in this book, which is fair because I think that this guy was actually looking for information on how to hang sheetrock, and you're not going to find that information in the Sleep Solution. So I like the fact that he just said, I can't find what I need. That makes this a horrible book. Fantastic. So number two, I like this one a lot too, because what I really like about alcohol is you can talk about alcohol. I don't think anybody out there is arguing that alcohol is great for sleep, but I love the can-do attitude of some people where they feel like if they ask the question just in the right way, that we as sleep specialists are going to say, well, sure. Well, in that case, alcohol is great for your sleep. So I like this question, which was, I understand how you feel about alcohol, but what about some in your chamomile tea? I think that's awesome. So yes, if the alcohol is in chamomile tea, then it is rendered, you know, ineffective in terms of affecting your sleep. So I would say to that person, maybe a drop if you want that smoky mezcal flavor in your chamomile, but no more than an eyedropper dropful just for that flavor. Otherwise, even in the chamomile, especially taking it before you go to bed, it's going to affect your sleep. Number three, this was the entire comment. I don't really know what it's referring to, but it should be my number one, but it comes in at number three. It was, I don't care for all the dirty talk. So let me tell you something. When I'm done recording this podcast, I'm generally just sweating because I am working so hard to go 35 minutes and not swear. There's been a couple breakthroughs over the years, but I think they're pretty few and far between. So if this is what you would consider dirty talk, man, we can never go out and spend an hour or two together one evening, especially if the mezcal is involved, the mezcal chamomile is involved. So, but he doesn't care, or she doesn't care. They don't care for the dirty talk, and that's okay. You're entitled to not care for all the dirty talk. The next one, number four, personally, what is your favorite drug? I have no idea what to do with that one. That one just stands by itself. Personally, what is my favorite drug? I don't know about that. Probably Imodium, but who's counting? And finally, number five, best comments of the year that deserve their own April Fool's Day attention, which was, do you think that there are hidden dangers with weighted blankets? How about the sleep masks? Sometimes I think that even a regular blanket could be a problem depending on the situation. I love it. Oh, and I agree. You know, there's blankets, you know, you get kind of wrapped up in them. Sometimes when I'm getting out in the night to go, you know, you got to go to the bathroom or something, get your leg wrapped up in the blanket, they can be a problem. And certainly when, you know, partners are fighting over blankets, that can be a problem too. So I think we talked about weighted blankets. Certainly if you were a tiny tot or an adult, maybe who had mobility issues, as weighted blankets could be a problem. Sleep masks, I guess if the strap behind them didn't break away easily, could be a choking hazard, particularly for a small person. And again, the blankets, got to watch out for those blankets. So I appreciate everybody sitting in comments, corrections, criticisms, commentary, color, compliments. We love it all. We appreciate every one of the listeners, and you're what makes this show so much fun and feel like a family. So let's get into the topic at hand, which was strange insomnia treatment. So I think that if you're a regular listener of the show and you know that the first Monday of every month is something related to insomnia, we talked about insomnia at the beginning of the last podcast because we had a wonderful psychologist write in and she wasn't really happy with some of the comments I'd made about CBTI. And so, you know, we want to talk about the insomnia treatments that work. And I think this show should be led off with CBTI is what works. It's really about, you know, here you are, if you're watching on YouTube, I've got my hand in the air and my other hand's in the air and they're kind of facing each other. And here is the sleep problem. And I think a lot of people think that what we have to do is bend the sleep to us. We've got to, I've been watching Blown Away. It's like this contest where people blow glass and you know, they're having to wrestle with this molten glass to form it into the shape that they want. But I think to some degree, some of the comments they make is that it's more, you've got to work with the glass. It's a two-way dance that's happening with this molten substance that when you're trying to muscle it into something that it doesn't want to be, problems happen and things get broken. So I always think about insomnia in that way. It's more about bending ourselves to our sleep versus bending our sleep to ourselves. And so cognitive behavioral therapy, those kinds of things are really where it's all about when it comes to our insomnia. But I don't have a problem if somebody said, look, I've had problems for 10 years and, you know, tapping 100 times on my forehead when I go to bed at night cured me. Sure. You know, okay, that's great. I have no problem with that. That doesn't cost anything. Tapping on your forehead, it's not dangerous to my knowledge. It's not like those blankets, you know, it's just tapping. It's no big deal. So if that's what does it for you, great. I know there's certain little tapping things people do for anxieties and stuff. And again, I'm not an expert on those things. If they work for you, they work for you. So looking through, I was like, what are some of the more unusual insomnia therapies that I bet if we did some studies or, you know, if people out there listening to this podcast, you struggle with insomnia, my guess is that if you tried them all, there'd be a fair number of people, it wouldn't be insignificant probably, that said, hey, Chris, I tried weird therapy number 4 and it worked for me. You know, I just like to sort of always kind of put the disclaimer out there that these are unusual. They're not really evidence-based. So I don't want to, you know, build somebody's hopes up, but if you want to give it a try, a lot of these things would be pretty easy and some are probably more likely to work than others. I remember watching one of the daytime television shows. And there was a time where I was discussing sort of this kind of thing with a TV makers. They're like, hey, we think this would be a really cool show where we could talk about sleep problems and fix them, kind of like the Doctors or Dr. Oz kind of thing. And, you know, what would you think about doing something like that? I thought it would be great, but it would need to be sort of a brief sort of situation. I don't think this show would have a lot of legs because in order for it to have legs, we would have to dive into something new every day potentially. And I don't know that there's enough to really do that and certainly do it with an open heart. And I remember around that time, somebody had sent me a video of, I think it was Dr. Oz, like, hey, we're on Dr. Oz and it's sleep week and we're going to cure some insomnia. So let's bring out Rhonda. And Rhonda came out and she'd been having trouble with insomnia for 20 years. And they said to her, you should read an instruction manual in your bed. And if that doesn't work, maybe you could put your feet where the pillow is and your head at the bottom of the bed. So turn yourself around 180 degrees in the bed and sleep that way. All right. Well, Rhonda, we're so glad you're here. And we really have enjoyed curing your insomnia and good luck. And that was it. That was the segment. Then it was like a Fiber One commercial. And then they went on to something else. And I remember seeing in Rhonda's eyes, I'm making up the name Rhonda. I don't remember what her name was, but I remember seeing in her eyes this sort of confusion. And I kind of want to say something, but I don't feel comfortable saying it because you're kind of talking like Rhonda wanted to say, this doesn't make any sense. I don't think this is going to work, but she kind of clapped along and had sort of a vacant look and kind of surprised, like almost like she was expecting something and got something very different when she walked out on stage from the doctors. And you know they know what they're talking about because they are wearing scrubs. So maybe I should wear scrubs on maybe next year, the April Fool's Day episode of the Sleep Unplugged podcast. I'm going to wear scrubs. I think that'd be a great little symbolic nod to that episode. So keep that in mind. That'll be our little tradition. We'll do the top five listener comments, and Dr. Winter will pull out his medical school scrubs and wear them, because that's a universal sign of medical expertise and knowledge. So anyway, my point being this, I have no problem with the owner manual. You want to flip yourself around in your bed in some sort of configuration. Great. In fact, we're going to talk about that on this episode. I just think that we have to come at it with, let's give it a shot. But I don't think that this is likely to work for most people. So it kind of falls into the category of harmless, might help. In fact, marginal is a word that's often used in studies that look at these things, which is code word for, yeah, probably not going to do a whole lot. But anyway, we can talk about that. So the first one I'm going to talk about, which I kind of liked, which I thought was interesting and a little bit novel, was rocking. And that's where the how long rock yourself to sleep comment comes from the Eagles. And this was a study out of Montreal, sort of, I think around 2020, 2019, maybe somewhere in there. I could be remembering that wrong. But anyway, they took about 20 healthy individuals and put them in this great, sleep lab with this bed that was mechanically rocking them side to side perfectly, 10 centimeters to the left, back to center, 10 centimeters to the right. And they did it all night long. And they found that individuals in that situation fell asleep faster, spent more time in deep restorative sleep, and they tended to stay asleep better, have fewer arousals throughout the course of the night. What was really interesting was later on, they also did memory testing with these individuals who were in the study. When they were asked to memorize a list of paired words, it's a common sort of memory experiment. Matt Walker did a bunch of them that were really interesting before sleeping. And then when you woke up, you had to recall the paired words. And if you slept in that rocking bed, it seemed to improve your performance on that memory test, which would make sense because generally as you increase sleep quality, we tend to improve memory consolidation in a lot of ways. And that was sort of Matt's really interesting work. He taught people a sequence of five keystrokes on a computer or maybe on a piano. I can't remember. And you played it. No, I think it was a keyboard. And you played the, 4, 3, 2, 4, 1, 5. And you had to see how many times you could play it with, memorize it and how many mistakes you made. And then you had, a period of sleep and then you did it again, or you didn't get the period of sleep and you did it again. The people who slept seemed to consolidate the memory a lot better. And there's all kinds of interesting experiments to kind of look at that. So bottom line here is you've got an all-nighter coming up, you got a big test coming up, maybe not pulling the all-nighter might be a good thing to do. And I remember that they made some sort of self-rocking crib for babies, electronically moving back and forth. And there is an adult bed that I've seen a couple of years ago. I saw it out in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show when I was out there for some sleep event. And the bed sort of had kind of a rocking motion. And I think people who sleep on houseboats and stuff like that will tell you, oh, the rocking of the sea just puts me to sleep. Probably hammocks do very similar things too. So hey, if you're struggling to sleep, maybe grab yourself a hammock and figure out a way to create a little bit of sway there back and forth, and perhaps that will help you sleep better at night. So number two, and we'll do 10. Number two is when you go to bed at night, this was an interesting one that I saw. I couldn't find any scholarship about it, but I like this. It's sort of a paradoxical intention, that idea. Let's go to bed, but try to stay awake. I don't want you to fall asleep. Your job is to get in bed and stay awake all night, with the idea that the harder we try to sleep, the more difficult it becomes. But if we try not to sleep, like you're in church and you're sitting in the front row right in front of the guy telling you all the good stuff that's happening in the Bible or whatever you're doing, or whatever religious service you're at, or some lecture, you've been dragged out by your partner to go see some great art history lecture because that's your partner's thing, but you're not so into art, particularly that Byzantine era that really gets your partner all fired up, but you're right there in the front row and you're trying really hard not to fall asleep as they talk about this art piece and that art piece and this detail and this connection to this other piece. And as you try to not fall asleep, you fall asleep, right? That same person, as soon as they get home and get into bed, have trouble falling asleep. So kind of like that, it's pretend like your alarm is getting ready to go off soon. It's getting ready to go off, and then the night is over. So a lot of times, you're knowing that you're done with your time to sleep kind of takes you off the hook. In other words, the alarm goes off, you turn it off, and now you're sitting there in bed. And what's the thought you always have? Okay, I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to get up and go do that thing I have to do. And then you oversleep, right? Because you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to just close my eyes for just a second here. I feel so good to be in bed. I don't want to go. This was just happening to me. I had to drive, you know, about an hour and a half to go see a team for spring training. And I was getting up a little bit before 5 a.m. to make the drive. When that alarm went off, there was a strong desire just to be like, okay, I'm just going to just sit here for 1 minute, just with my eyes closed. I'm not going to fall back to sleep. But I do not allow myself to do that. Like, it's almost terrifying. No. Don't fall victim to that. So if you kind of put yourself in that mindset of the alarm just went off, I'm just going to sit here for a minute and relax, and then I'll get up to go to work, then you might be able to fall asleep a little bit faster. The third one, which I put under weird, just because I think it's weird to a lot of people, is the idea of biofeedback, which I really like. I'm a big fan of it. And I think that you can actually find a fair amount of scholarship to support it, which is, what can we do to sort of sense our body's rhythms in a different but meaningful way and learn to control it? And I think we've talked about this in the episode of how to shut your mind off at night. Okay, you get in your bed and your mind's racing. Okay, how do you shut that off? Well, biofeedback can be a great way. You're actually wearing something on your head that is measuring the electrical activity of your brain. Okay, so it's going to turn that electrical activity into something else. They do biofeedback for migraines, for all kinds of disorders. I remember sitting in a biofeedback session, and as long as you could get your brain in a certain state or a certain rhythm, it started to turn a picture that you were looking at on a computer screen from black and white to color. So as you found that rhythm that you needed to be in, I think it was migraine therapy we were doing something with, that all of a sudden the computer screen started turning a color. But if you weren't doing it properly, the color started to fade back to black and white. So it was all about learning to turn the screen a certain color. So it's almost impossible to tell you how to do it. But as you start to get better and better with the biofeedback, you get better and better at that action. And the biofeedback device that I always use is one from a company called Muse. It's a company you could buy Interaxon. It's a Canadian company where this little headband on your head is like the Muse 2, the Muse S. It's the same thing. It's just electrical leads. And they're hooked up to your phone and your AirPods, and you hear the sound of the ocean or the rainforest or a city. And if you can calm your mind, then the rainforest, the city, the ocean gets quieter in your earbuds. So you learn to control the sound that you hear, which is sort of reflective of your brain state. Then you get a little cute little printout, and over you do it, the better you get. And we've talked about before, if you go to Sleeping Around on sleep.com, there's 3 episodes of Sleeping Around, a little show that I shot for them where I went around and slept in weird places. One was spending time with the Fort Worth Fire Department. And there's a whole episode about that. And I brought my Muse along, and we had a little challenge with the firefighters that night to who could get the best Muse score by midnight. And everybody succeeded in getting better. You know, one guy eventually won, but everybody was getting better with the device and feeling more confident about the ability to settle themselves. So I'm a huge fan of biofeedback. The next one is facing your bed north. So I read a bunch of articles, and one said, okay, well, facing your bed north could really help. And what was interesting was, I was, oh, that's cool. So I wonder if there's any, you know, what other people write about this, or if this has been helpful. So the more I looked at it, the more I found vastly different opinions about the direction that your bed should face based upon what you're talking about. Is it more of a feng shui sort of situation? Is it more of alignment with the magnetism of the earth? There was a Hindu belief that if you're lining your head up towards the north, that's the route that your soul takes to exit your body. And so you only want to line your bed up or your body up in a northern direction if you wanted to do lucid dreaming or astral travel, meaning you're intentionally wanting to sort of set your body up so that your soul can leave it and travel around a little bit during the night, and then, you know, jump back into your body before you head off to the office the next day, because it's difficult to do your office work without your soul. Even if you feel like your office work is sucking the soul out of your body, you still need it to do most actions that are required for you in the office. So otherwise, sleeping with your head towards the north was thought to be sort of ill-advised because of the Earth's magnitude. So I like the idea of, you know, keeping a little record, you know, creating a little situation where you're orienting your bed north, south, east, and west, and figuring out if one way or the other makes things better. You know, for instance, my wife does not like when she's looking down the bed, if she's looking down a hallway. Like, that's always, this doesn't feel comfortable or settling to her. Like, she doesn't like to see down the hallway. So, I mean, I think there could be little things like that, that simply changing the configuration of your room could make a difference. And I remember growing up, my room could exist in one of two configurations. And I don't know why we would change it up. There was one direction where my head of the bed was opposite of the window going outside. And there was another configuration where it was sort of left of the window with my feet moving towards where the window is. So if I sat up in bed, looked to the right, there was the window. So it was west or north, I guess would be the best way to say it. And I always felt like there were differences. I don't know if it was because of the newness. Like, I would come home one day from school, and maybe because somebody needed to vacuum underneath the bed and get all the dust out, you know, the bed would be moved, and it would stay that way for, you know, several months, and then it would move back. And I never knew quite when that was going to happen, but there definitely felt like differences with one versus the other. Maybe it was the light from the window. I have no idea. Curling and uncurling your toes. So there's all kinds of, I like the progressive relaxation techniques where you get in bed, you start with your toes. Okay, is there tension in my toes? Okay, there is, great. There's not, let's move on up. How about this, the arch of my foot? Oh yeah, it's a little tight. Let me wiggle my arch of my foot a little bit and let that settle out. Okay, that's feeling pretty good. Get to my calves. Oh, my calves are always sore. My kids always tell me I had Popeye calves. Like, my calves always seemed a little disproportionately big for my body. And I remember when I was in my neurology residency, one of my professors, I don't know why he would have seen it, or maybe I mentioned it or something, and he said something like, oh, you might have a little mild calf hypertrophy from some sort of, you know, a mild muscular dystrophy. I remember thinking, oh, that doesn't sound great at all. Like, maybe your calf isn't all muscle. It could be a little bit of scarring or something like that too. Anyway, so, you know, calves are a big focus of mine. Let's, you know, keep a lot of tension there. Let's let that go and move up to my thighs. And, you know, you kind of progress yourself up your body. So I always like that. But there's a lot of evidence of just curling and uncurling your toes is an interesting action. And it kind of goes along with one of those self-soothing behaviors of people who like to rub their feet together or move their feet in bed, kind of goes along with that. So that foot movement as you're trying to go to bed can be helpful to some people. In the same way, we start with our feet and move up our body. I saw another one where people imagine either warmth or light. So start with your feet, particularly if you're somebody who's sort of cold natured. You get in bed, and your feet and your hands are cold. You thought, let me imagine warmth in my feet. And when you kind of got your feet a little bit warm, or at least imaginarily warm, you move up and let that heat move up your legs to your calves, to your knees, to your thighs, you know, all the way up to your head. Or you can imagine a white light, you know, radiating from your toes, and that white light slowly moves up your body until your entire body is radiating and glowing, and that's going to help you fall asleep. We could have used, white light from, is that Lou Reed or Velvet Underground? I think it's Velvet Underground, white light, white heat. I think that's Velvet Underground, not Lou Reed solo. So white light, white heat, there you go. Either one, let it radiate your body. Think of the Velvet Underground, and you can fall asleep easily there too. So acupuncture, I kind of put this under weird, not to call acupuncture weird. I've known a lot of people who've used it and been very successful with it for a lot of things, not so much sleep, you know, elbow pain and, back issues and things of that nature, migraine. But there have been some studies at looking at acupuncture for sleep. There was a 2012, big retrospective study where they said, look, we've pulled out all these studies and kind of looked at the analysis and we picked the ones that were done well. And we look at this, we think, yeah, there might be a marginal benefit of acupuncture for sleep over people who don't do it. I always notice walking through the training centers of all these Major League Baseball teams, there's always some guy on the bench, face down with little needles in his back, and they're often out cold. So I've talked to people about that. You know, tell me about this technique you're doing, acupuncture, dry needling. Sue Falzone she was like the first head athletic trainer, first woman who was a head athletic trainer for the Major League Baseball team. She was the athletic trainer for the Dodgers. She's an expert in dry needling. And I've talked to her about that. She said, yeah, it's very relaxing for some people. So I don't know how exactly you can do that when you're trying to go to bed, but there may be techniques and things like that that you could use or look into that might be helpful for your sleep. The protagonist of a story, I always like this one, where I want you to imagine yourself as the protagonist in your own movie or your own story. This is sort of like what we were talking about in an earlier episode with the sailor rescues the captain's son and he gets to sleep in the bed. So it was sort of imagining yourself sleeping in this really comfortable bed and just being so happy you're there. But this is more, take yourself through a plot. You are on a mission with a very intelligent computer to go to Jupiter to investigate a monolith, and suddenly the computer becomes cognizant of things and starts making bizarre decisions. So you're trying to figure out with this other individual in the spaceship, what's going on with the computer? Can we trust it? Can we successfully complete our mission? And as you're kind of imagining the details of this movie that you're putting yourself in the middle of, it helps some people fall asleep. And there is a variant of this where you put yourself in more of an adult-related movie and go through that plot, which generally involves a pizza boy of some sort, right? Knocks on the door. Hey, who ordered the pizza? I didn't order a pizza. And if that's your thing, you could think about that movie too. So you decide how you'd like your movie to be rated. And if you're somebody who doesn't care for all the dirty talk, it can be a G-rated movie if you want it to be. Just put yourself in a story and let that story play out. Maybe it's more like a Robert Langdon Da Vinci Code kind of thing where you're solving mysteries around a place where you just traveled to. I think that'd be a lot of fun. The next one, clean your room. And that's not imagining yourself cleaning your room. It's actually cleaning your room. And I would throw in there too, make your bed. Make your bed every day. So when you go to bed at night, the room is pristine. And there's a lot of people who talk about the idea that that action alone, walking into a bedroom that's neat and clean and tidy and put together and relatively sparse. I think bedrooms are a great place for minimalism. Let's keep your collection of Kiss memorabilia or Star Wars figures or whatever is important to you. They're all great. I got no problem with any of that stuff. But let's keep it in another room where when you walk in, a couple pieces of simple art, nice blue-gray paint on the wall, everything's neat, everything's put together, the bills, the unfolded laundry, all that stuff somewhere else. And finally, the last one that I wanted to talk about was vibration. And this could be sort of similar to the rocking, that back and forth rocking. Vibration is, I guess, a shorter frequency rocking. But for some people, vibration can be helpful. There used to be a treatment for people who have restless leg, which often presents as insomnia, where you slept on a mat that vibrated and kind of broke up that feeling of restlessness that some people have in their leg. So the act of vibration could be helpful. Vibrating, some little device on your body that's vibrating or something that's related to the bed vibrating can be helpful. The base on my bed has these different vibrational settings where the whole thing kind of vibrates. And I've never really thought much of it one way or the other. It's kind of pleasant when you turn it on, but I've never really thought about, could this actually improve the nature and quality of sleep? Never really tried it, but if you've got an adjustable base on your bed that has some vibrating settings, or you've got one of those little vibrating mats, massage mats, bring it in bed with you, put it down, sleep on top of it with a vibrating program going and see what it does for you. So that's it. Those are my 10 off the beaten track things you could try for insomnia if you're working through the CBTI and you're just needing a little bit of a break and want to try something off the wall and see what happens. These are not meant to be things that you try, and when the vibrating mat doesn't work, makes you feel more frustrated. Just something that you could look at on a whim to see if there's something that you can learn about yourself and learn about your sleep by trying them. So I'm Chris Winter. This is the Sleep Unplugged podcast. You can find me if you've tried anything or planning on trying any of these things. Let me know. Dr. Chris Winter Instagram, Dr. Chris Winter Twitter. You can find our YouTube page, Sleep Unplugged, where we post all the videos. Check out the Spotify playlist. It's Sleep Unplugged Spotify playlist volume 2 that we're currently working on and closing out. Please like the podcast, subscribe to it, follow it. Leave us a review if you have a little time. And until next week, sleep well.